is the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Tacoma ICE Processing Center through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement. This is the Aid Northwest monthly report for August 2023. It was a calm, warm afternoon at the Welcome Center with the RV out for repairs. ICE had not advised how many releases we should expect, and we received 4. The first 2 guests were a man from the Philippines heading to Las Vegas and a man from Yemen heading to Oakland. The man from the Philippines had lived much of his life in Hawaii, where his wife lives now, and was picked up by his mother-in-law, who lives locally. They plan to make his travel arrangements to Las Vegas in the coming days. The man from Yemen was particularly open and shared some details of his journey with us. He left his home country some years ago when the civil unrest and Saudi invasion began. He had been a photojournalist and was targeted by the government as a dissident. He and members of his family were threatened and attacked physically. He fled to Malaysia while his family settled in Egypt. After 2 years in Malaysia, he spent a year in Egypt with his family and finally decided to seek asylum in the U.S. and join his sister and brother-in-law in Oakland. He flew to Ecuador and made his way up through Central America, then Mexico, presenting himself to Border Control in Arizona. He was sent to a detention center in Mississippi, where he spent a month and received a positive status determination from the immigration court. Inexplicably, he was then transferred to detention in Louisiana, where he languished for 1 year and 3 months. He never understood why he was sent there, nor why he was detained for so long. He was then transferred to Northwest ICE Detention Center, where he stayed for 1 month. He was very happy to be released and had positive things to say about his treatment in the Northwest ICE Detention Center compared to Louisiana. His brother-in-law quickly secured his ticket to Oakland for a 9:35 p.m. flight. And our last guest was a man from El Salvador with a red ID card who had lived in the U.S. for some time. He was animated and energized to share his story with us, but frankly it was somewhat difficult to follow. All we could glean from his stories was that he had a falling out with his family, made some bad choices, and fled north towards Canada, where he was picked up by Border Patrol. His final destination was Everett, and he insisted on walking himself to the bus station. And a beautiful afternoon to welcome 7 guests. Our first guest was from Yemen and going to New York via a friend's house in Seattle. With his altered plans, he wanted to change the contact address for his ankle monitor. Aiden helped him return to the detention center, where it took about 45 minutes. He was first to leave the Welcome Center in an Uber. We also welcomed 2 men from India bound for New York. Nick patiently worked with one of the men's fathers to purchase their tickets. 2 lawyers had contacted Deborah in advance of their client's release today to advise next step. The man from the Ukraine was headed to his father's house in Kent and was picked by taxi arranged by his lawyer. Perry got the other man from Eritrea to the Tacoma Rescue Mission and made sure he got a bed. Aiden graciously donated the flip-flops he was wearing to a guest whose shoes were too small. And it was a beautiful afternoon for our incredible crew. Our first guest from Kazakhstan was released at 2:05 and helped us to set up the tents. Happy after 10 months detained, he is on his way to stay with friends in Tacoma while waiting for his court on August 16th. After that, he plans to travel to California or Colorado. However, tonight his friend was delayed in picking him up at the Welcome Center. Our guest declined to consider a host home. He did express interest in possibly staying in an economical hotel at his own cost, but the usual hotels had no availability. He subsequently asked to be taken to the mall to get a SIM card while awaiting pickup from his friend. This obviously seemed a bit risky, but he was fully aware of his situation and making his own decisions. So after discussion as a team, we honored his choice. I took him to the T-Mobile store at the Tacoma Mall. Our second guest was an Indian international student at North Seattle Community College. He had been on his way to meet his sister at the Blaine Border Crossing Park and ended up crossing the border because he made the mistake of getting in the wrong queue. Despite having a valid student visa, he was detained when he tried to cross back into the U.S. He had been held in detention for 24 days and was struggling to understand why. Happily, his friends from Kent came to pick him up. And today at the Welcome Center, there were 8 releases. 2 releases, a man and a woman, were met by their son and his wife and son. They had been together in the detention for 2 months. After an emotional reunion, they drove off together. The other 6 releases went directly to the tents. 3 of them were from India, 2 were from Mexico, and 1 was from Uzbekistan. The woman from Mexico was picked up by a friend. The 3 Indian men were insistent on taking an Uber to the airport, although only 1 had a phone and only 2 spoke passable English. They did have tickets, and despite our best effort to convince them to let P-Dan Steve take them, they did eventually depart in an Uber. P-Dan Steve took the gentleman from Mexico to the airport after we used his credit card to purchase a ticket. Lastly, the Uzbek man had difficulty accessing money for a ticket due to the time difference and operating hours of Uzbek banks. He was taken to the hospitality house to spend the night while he and his father worked on purchasing a ticket for tomorrow. And we had a really lovely afternoon. At 3 p.m., we received our first 2 guests heading to Indianapolis. They were a very adorable married couple, and they were really excited to be reunited outside of the facility after 5 months. Santiago called at 4 p.m. to let us know there is 1 more release, and after that, they will be done for the day. We received our 3rd guest around 4:20, who is headed to San Diego after 21 months. His family purchased his flight to LAX. And we had a hot time in the old town tonight. 10 new immigrants were released, 5 from India, 2 from Venezuela, then Mexico, Guatemala, and Colombia. Destinations were New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, California, Indiana, Omaha, and Texas. We were able to obtain and print 5 tickets, and 2 guests were taken by a relative after a few minutes to chat with other friends at the Welcome Center. The others were taken to the bus that goes to the airport. The rest were having trouble with obtaining tickets and were taken to the hospitality house to work on travel plans tomorrow. Interestingly, when I arrived at 1:55, there were already 4 people waiting in the shade between the tents, so it was a bit of a scramble getting opened up and getting the guests accommodated, but we got things rolling, and then more releases began trickling out, with the last one around 4 o'clock. Once again, a joy to serve on an eventful day with great people. And it was a slow afternoon as we waited for 1 release, a woman from Japan, who arrived at about 4:30. We had been alerted by Claudia to expect her and received a phone call from her lawyer also. She had been picked up by Border Patrol at the Canadian border because of some complication or a misunderstanding regarding her visa and spent 8 months in detention. We understand that she had been living in Canada for some years and had attended university in Ohio, so her English skills were excellent. Her lawyer gave us contact information for her sponsor in Dublin, Ohio, and we reached her right away to secure her ticket to Columbus. And it was a warm and somewhat smoky afternoon at the RV. We were told there would be no planned releases, and we received two. The first was a young man from Mexico with an orange ID who had spent about a year in jail and 6 months in detention. He was very relieved to be out and mentioned something about not getting into trouble going forward. He had lived in San Diego for many years, so his English was perfect. We witnessed a joyous reunion with his mother, who had traveled from San Diego to pick him up, the kind of experience that makes this work enriching for us all. The next release was a woman from Mexico who had been in the U.S. for 26 years. We were contacted by her lawyer, who gave us the name and telephone number for her daughter, who was flying in from Arizona to pick her up. ICE let us know that they would only be releasing her to her daughter due to her Franco status. Research revealed that Franco indicates intellectual disabilities. The daughter arrived about 6 p.m. In speaking with her, she shared that she was brought to the U.S. when she was 2 years old, and that she had not seen her mother in 16 years. So their reunion was a little more tentative than the one we saw previously. And we expected zero releases, but received two, one guest from China and one guest who was originally from Mexico. The Chinese guest had his name misspelled, so we took him inside to have his name corrected. His friend purchased a ticket for him. There was a language barrier, but we managed to overcome it using the printed Chinese instructions, Google Translate, and a human translator. The Mexican had an orange card. He came to the U.S. when he was a little child. He spent more years living in the U.S. than in Mexico. Initially, he was going to see his cousin in Seattle. However, he really wanted to quickly go to see his family in Eugene, Oregon. His choices were $41 Greyhound bus leaving tomorrow morning, a $360 flight leaving tonight, and a $70 Amtrak train leaving at 7 p.m. from Tacoma. We quickly got him connected with his family, who provided us with a credit card number to purchase the Amtrak ticket. And it was a calm day at the Welcome Center. We were not expecting any releases, and we received two gentlemen from India at about 3:30. A third gentleman from India was released and was escorted by an ICE officer directly to his sponsors, who were waiting outside the gate. Destinations for the two men we received were New York and San Francisco Bay Area. They quickly connected with local friends and made their arrangements to be picked up. They planned to stay with their local friends and made their own travel arrangements over the weekend. And yesterday was an awesome day at the Welcome Center with three releases. The first guest had been in the facility for 8 months and was from the Dominican Republic. His family quickly secured a flight for him to Newark, and they were grateful for our help. We charged his phone and helped him download WhatsApp. He was delighted to make a WhatsApp call to his family. The second guest was from Guatemala. His aunt in Dallas was concerned about him flying, as he had never navigated an airport before. She plans to fly and make her way to Washington to travel back with him. Tom took him to the hospitality house, where he will probably stay for several days while travel arrangements get sorted. A third guest was from China. He had been in prison in California for 20 years, having originally been given a life sentence. He said he was very grateful for the U.S. government releasing him. We booked a flight for him to San Francisco, and he paid us in cash. Mark took the first and third guest to the airport on his way back to Seattle. Though we were able to print the United boarding pass at the RV, TSA did not accept it. I thought perhaps there was no seat assignment. I went with our guest from the Dominican Republic, and United printed a new pass, and that still had no seat assignment. But it did work. I went to the gate with our guest, and though the flight's gate crew wasn't there to assign a seat, the person at the gate spoke Spanish and explained what to do, which made our nervous guests much more comfortable. And it was a smooth afternoon at the Welcome Center. We spent the first hour or so cutting out pink and red paper hearts until we started receiving guests at about 3 p.m. We welcomed 7 total. 2 young men from Myanmar arrived first at about 3:10, both heading to New York to join family. One had an immigration appointment for late September in Los Angeles, so we texted the address change documents to his father in New York. Fluent in English, the father understood the instructions on the documents and planned to guide his son through the process. They were unable to make travel arrangements until after the holiday, so those two went to the hospitality house while the family arranges their travel to New York. The next guest was a man from Sri Lanka, whose destination is Boston. Because his family in Boston was not able to make immediate arrangements, he too went to the hospitality house for a couple of days. Our next guest was a young woman from Mexico who planned to join family in Merced, California. Her cousin quickly secured an 8 p.m. flight to Fresno, so we checked her in and printed her boarding pass. With the 8 p.m. flight, we started planning some options for transportation. In the meantime, we welcomed a young woman from India who already had a 10 p.m. flight secured by family to Sacramento. We checked her in and printed her boarding pass just in time to witness a joyous reunion with a local family member who came quickly to greet her and take her to the airport for her flight. Our last two guests were 2 young men from India, one headed to Albuquerque, the other to Ontario, California. The family of the guest headed to Albuquerque bought a ticket for early tomorrow morning. He decided to spend the night at the Sikh temple in Renton and arranged for a local friend to take him to the airport tomorrow. The family of the other guest from India had bought a ticket to Ontario with an 8 p.m. departure from Seattle. Since I passed the airport on my way home to Seattle, I left at 5:30 to take the young woman from Mexico and this guest to the airport, leaving my team to close for me. And here are the statistics for August. There were 49 hospitality house guests, 26 rides by volunteers, 38 visits to those in detention, 51 letters written to detainees, 10 deportation bags given, 46 backpacks given, 10 coats given, and 120 phone funds. Each phone fund is $20 plus fees. There were in total 760 volunteer hours for August. Thank you.
This is Louisa Beal with Aid Northwest and Radio Tacoma, and I have the pleasure today of interviewing Sydney Phelps, who is the office assistant at Aid Northwest. Is that right, Sydney?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, good, good. So glad that you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, I have a lot of questions, but one of the questions I always am interested in is how you got involved with Aid Northwest.
Yeah, so I've been involved with Aid Northwest for a couple of years, actually. I first got involved when I was studying Spanish and criminal justice at the University of Washington, Tacoma. And for like the last class to finish up my Spanish degree, I had to either do a study abroad or internship. And this was during COVID times. It was, well, yeah, I know. I was actually kind of bitter because I was supposed to do a study abroad in Spain for like 6 or 7 weeks. Oh. In a beach town, you know,
oh.
I could have been sipping Spanish wine and studying, but, you know, things happen for a reason. And so since that was canceled, I had to look for an internship that, you know, involved practicing the language and helping people. So one of my professors connected me with Deborah, and I started an internship here, and Back then was when we were getting a lot of mass releases. So a lot of my time was spent at the Welcome Center. I was also writing a few pen pals in Spanish to practice my Spanish and helping at the office some. But yeah, that was when like 40 to 50, like 30 to 50 people were being released a day. So I was actually working a lot at the Welcome Center back then. And then I was looking for a job recently, and I started working back here as office assistant again, in June 2023.
Wow. Yeah. Well, your being there has made things so much easier for me because I refer a lot of people to you. And actually, I think at the end here, we'll probably put in your email so that people can contact you if they have any questions.
Yeah,
But
I'm
then.
actually starting a new position mid-September, but I'll still be staying on for a few hours a week to help write grants and help with fundraising and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
But the email isn't like specific to me, it's the office volunteer email. So I'm actually training one of our new volunteers next week and what I do, like the daily like office tasks. But I'll still be around. I'm also on
Yeah.
the fundraising committee. I should have mentioned that as well. I
Well,
just
that's so
joined.
important. Yeah, because Aid Northwest is run by donations. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of
So.
our donations come from individuals, like recurring. People send 20 to 100 bucks a month, and we get like monthly or quarterly donations from a lot of churches or faith-based organizations. So that's really how we run. And like campaigns, like match campaigns, stuff like that.
I consider fundraising the F word. But that's just me, I'm just reluctant to outreach and whatnot. But it is so important, and I'm so glad that you are doing that.
Yeah, it is, like I've worked other positions where I've had to kind of like do sales stuff, or like recommending products. And I've never really liked doing sales, but I think it's different when it's a nonprofit, especially, all of we don't obviously don't take any money. There's no shareholders, nothing like that. All the money goes into running our operations. And if you believe in something, it's necessary to do. Yeah, and I really believe in our mission. I mean, no one else really does what we do. I don't know what the people would do that are released from the detention center, because ICE really releases them with nothing. A lot of them don't even know where they are. Some of them don't have phones, and if they do, they don't have a SIM card, so they need Wi-Fi. I'm sure they would figure it out because, a lot of them have made a long journey to get here, especially the people coming from Central America. They've had this terrible, long, and dangerous journey, walking in the desert, the train hopping, just some of the ways they get here. So I'm sure they would figure it out, but I'm not sure if you've been there, but the Thai Flats is kind of a confusing area. I mean, if I was dropped off there and I didn't know the area, I mean, I'm familiar with it now, but I wouldn't know where to go.
Well, I was born and raised in Tacoma and did some stuff down at the Tide Flats now and again. I still don't know where anything is. If I was dropped off, I just have to walk until I hit a main drag that I recognized. And the detention center isn't anywhere near any of that.
No, and I feel like they kind of try to hide it there because some people obviously don't want like prisons or detention centers in their community, but I feel like we have to accept it is a part of our community. Just because someone's undocumented or has committed a crime doesn't mean they're not a part of our community. And I don't think we should isolate people that have made wrong decisions or, gone down the wrong track in life, or but that's not even most of the people there haven't even committed a crime. They were just unlucky in where they were born and, or the situations they're living in. So I always say I think in order to be a good country or a great community, we're only as good as our most vulnerable populations and how we're treating them. If there's someone hurting in our community or someone vulnerable in our community, we're only as good as that. I think we need to help everyone.
That as humans, it's what we're called on to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like to think about myself as a global citizen as well. You know, sometimes we get some pushback saying we need to help Americans first, stuff like that. And I just feel like that's kind of short-sighted. We're all humans, you know, we're all one race and your species, you know, and I don't see why borders should define who we're helping.
Yeah. And again, the detainees that are released, if Aid Northwest and the Welcome Center weren't there, then it would be harder on the community to have people
Right.
wandering around not knowing where they are and what they're going to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know what would happen, but you know, they would hope. I mean, they don't know where like the shelters are and stuff, so who knows what would happen. Like you said, there might be more people on the street and stuff like that. When really they don't, you know, they don't want to be, and they just need to get connected with their, I mean, most of them have families they're trying to go back to. Because what happens is this is a processing center, so they usually get sent down here from border states like Texas and California and Canada. They get sent here, they get processed, and then a lot of them are going back to, you know, to places closer to where they entered the border. A lot of them are going or East Coast. A lot of them go back to like California, Texas, New York, Chicago. So you know, it seems to me, it seems kind of silly to send them here to get processed, but yes, and they're really just trying to get back to their families, so that would make it so much harder if we weren't there.
So the fact that you speak Spanish is a great help. My gosh, because I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of detainees that I hear are speaking, Urdu or other languages besides Spanish, but it seems to me that Spanish is the most prevalent.
Yeah, I didn't pull up the statistics, but I think over 50% of the people released are Spanish speaking. When I was working here 2 years ago, interning, I know like the majority of the people who were being released were from like Venezuela because of what was going on there back then. But there was a corrupt government there and people weren't getting food, they weren't getting medicine. We also put sanctions on Venezuela, economic sanctions. So that's what I also think about is a lot of the people who are coming here are from countries that the United States has messed with. And the UN has said, like, don't put economic sanctions on countries because it only hurts the people living in poverty. The corrupt governments are going to keep, you know, taking the money and not leaving anything for the people at the bottom. But anyways, when I was here 2 years ago, yeah, the majority being released were Spanish speakers from Central America, South America, Cuba. Recently, I've noticed though, yeah, a lot of people are coming from India, which is obviously, you know, they have a huge population, but we still do have a lot of Spanish speakers released.
So, this is just a linguistic question on my mind because, again, there's a whole, Mexico and South America
Yes.
and Spain and probably islands that I'm not even aware of that all speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Are there dialects? Are there different forms that sometimes are difficult to understand for someone who
Yeah.
only speaks like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, and I've actually have had the pleasure of visiting South America, Peru, and Paraguay, and I've had a teacher from Spain, so I've been lucky to be introduced to different dialects. But yeah, every country has a different accent, I would say, or a different flow and rhythm that they use. I mean, there's so many countries that speak Spanish. Sometimes they have different words for different things, like just like little things like socks. Socks could be, I could think of two words for them right now, medias and calcetines. So it depends on the country, what they use. There's also different slang. The slang is always the hardest to catch on to, you know, for anyone learning any language. But since there's different slang in each of the countries, I also took a film studies class, so I had got to, you know, kind of get used to different accents. And there are a couple countries that have a totally different verb form. I believe it's Argentina. They use vos instead of to, and it's a little bit different conjugation. And then in Spain, they use vosotros instead of ustedes, so that's also different as well. So it's a lot.
You know, languages have always fascinated me, even
Yeah.
though I'm really monolingual.
Yeah, and I took some history classes as well. Spain used to be different, like kingdoms, like from Germany, France, other countries, and that's how the Spanish language was formed, was kind of like a combination of all these different Latin languages. And that's why some of the cities today, I forget which one, but there's like a few cities that still have their own language in Spain as well. It's completely different from Spanish. Well, not completely. I mean, it sounds similar because it's a Latin language, but it's not Spanish, that's for sure.
Well, have you found that different dialects can be a challenge at the Welcome Center for you?
I think Central America, we get a lot of people from like Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. I'm not as familiar with that accent. Even Mexico too, to be honest. It sounds silly because, we have a lot of people here from Mexico, but they speak very fast and without. And I've been to South America where they have kind of more like a melodic, like musicality to their the way they fluctuate their words and stuff. So yeah, I would say people from Mexico and Central America are the hardest for me. We haven't gotten too many, but I forget what it is, but the accents from the Caribbean, like Cuba, Dominican Republic, their accents can be different as well, but I'm spacing on what it sounds like.
Well, I really admire you for your knowledge of language.
It's I really enjoyed my degree in Spanish. I mean, it was Spanish language and culture, so we studied a lot of history, literature, and language as well. Obviously, I took like advanced grammar classes and stuff. It was a really interesting degree. I was really into my criminal justice degree as well. I actually took a class. It was actually a social work class, but they're very close degrees at UWT. But I took a class that was called The History of the Criminalization of Immigration. That was one of, yeah, that was one of my favorite classes that I took. And it talked a lot about, how we got here today, because I think it was obviously, I was born in 97, so I don't remember it, but back in the 70s, 80s, around then, we used to have a pretty open border and people would just come and go. Because people really just want to come here, work, and send money to their families. So that's how it was. But now, with everything, like they basically get stuck here because they can't go back, they can't cross the border because they'll get detained. That class was a lot about how that was really our best time of immigration, was when we just had more of an open border.
And I was around back then. And what I remember, and this might, I mean, anyway, it's just what I remember, is that they would allow immigrants to come in just to work the fields. So it's kind of like, okay, so we'll have this slave labor come in because we don't have to pay them very much. And so it's like it's a tough situation no matter where you are and what
It
you're
is.
doing.
And it makes you think, like, why isn't there a visa, for that type of labor? Because from my understanding, the visas are more, for like skilled workers. I know a lot of like technology companies are able to bring people here with a visa. That makes you think, why isn't there a visa for all the jobs that we have open? I don't know about you, but it seems like everywhere I go, like there's jobs available, like at grocery stores, restaurants. I've noticed a lot of restaurants have to close early because they don't have enough people working there. And it makes you think, why, why isn't, is there someone, like there's a reason why companies are not like encouraging them to pass a visa like that. It's because they make money off of it. They make money off of being able to pay people lower wages.
So, is there something in what you do at Aid Northwest that you particularly like?
I do a lot of office work, obviously, as the office assistant, which is, it's not my favorite thing to do, but it's necessary. Spreadsheets, emails, phone calls, it can be a little meticulous. But I just have to remind myself, you know, why I'm doing it and what our mission is. And obviously, every organization needs stuff like that and processing payments, stuff like that. I really like helping when people are here at the hospitality house, helping them out. There's actually three gentlemen here right now who are flying out tomorrow morning. And I printed their boarding pass. I gave them a backpack and some clothes and kind of explained the airport to them. And they're just always really grateful, you know, for the help. So that's probably my favorite part. Also going to events. Recently, we've been going to a lot of festivals. We went to the Hilltop Festival and just standing out there at the booth and just spreading the word because, I mean, I didn't know the detention center was here until I was in college. So 2 years ago. And like you, I was born in Tacoma General. You know, I lived in Federal Way, in between Federal Way and Tacoma my whole life, and I didn't know it was there. So I do like, you know, going to events and spreading the word as well, not only about our organization, but just about the detention center as well.
Yeah. So how can people get involved in Aid Northwest?
So we're always looking for new volunteers. So if you go on our website, Aid Northwest, that's A as in apple, I, D as in dog, N as in Nancy, W.org. We have our volunteer application on there. You can also email me. My email is just the word office assistant at aidnorthwest.org. Again, that's AIDNW.org. We're always, like you mentioned before, we run on small donations. So, you know, anything helps. We accept check, you know, donations by check, by mail. We also have several ways you can donate online. Yeah, just, you know, signing up for our newsletter to stay informed. You can do that online as well.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm really impressed with what you do, and it's been wonderful to talk with you.
Yeah, so, you too. Thanks for having me. It's nice to think deeper, you know, about my job, because like I said, it can seem, the task can seem, you know, day to day, you know, but yeah, I love doing it. I love working with Aid Northwest. Like I said, you know, there's no other organization that really does what we do for our community and for the people in the detention center. I didn't mention as well, but we also have programs, visitor programs for people that are detained as well. And there's not much they can do while they're in there. And sometimes people are there for months, for years. So even just writing a letter, people are super grateful, you know, to have something to do, to have someone to talk to.
So filling out a volunteer application form would get them into that program also.
Yeah, you can check what program you're interested in, and you can also put on there like what experience you have, what languages you speak, stuff like that. Sometimes we just need interpreters as well.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay. You take care. I'll talk with you later.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. So to get involved, go to the website aidnorthwest.org. And fill out the volunteer application and help this amazing organization. Thank you.
You can register now for our next community meeting. Email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Again, that is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. Aid Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks, are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is aidnw.org. You can email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest, supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.